I'm in London, got my beef from London.
I style, no stylish, no Chanel, Saint Laurent, Gucci bag.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Oh, don't worry. Steven Jackson is now trending on Twitter also.
Yeah, Steven Jackson was, just a few short weeks ago with George Floyd. He was boys with George Floyd, and he was a spokesman, actually, with Bun and here in Houston. And Steven Jackson was actually front and center in the whole George Floyd movement. He took a stance yesterday.
This is not going to go well for him.
No. He took a stance yesterday defending DeSean Jackson. Can you clean that up, Del?
Saying that everything DeSean said was right and people shouldn't be coming after him. DeSean has had a DeSean, not Watson, Jackson, just make sure you guys know, had a second apology. He put a second, or his agent put a second apology out there. They're trying to minimize the damage control. Let's be real. DeSean Jackson is at the end of his career and is much easier to cut for the Eagles at this point. They just drafted Jalen Reagor, who is going to do a lot of the same stuff potentially that DeSean Jackson was. I mean, he might not even make it on the team. That's just a reality. He's 33 years old. I think 33. He may not make it with all this stuff if it's going to be too big an issue. It could be a hard time for him. Steven Jackson, I'm really surprised Steven Jackson jumped out there and went full steam ahead. Really disgusting. This person says, really disgusting. Steven Jackson, who has been repeatedly promoted by the press, backing up, quoting Hitler and smearing Jews, calls it speaking truth. He also promoted Farrakhan. The Big Three has a real anti-Semitism problem. Who's the Big Three? Does that mean the sports?
No, the big three, the basketball big three.
Oh, is that what he means?
Yeah.
Is that what he? Yeah, I guess so. The Big Three has a real anti-Semitism problem from the ownership down. But did Ice Cube say something? Maybe I missed. Ice Cube may have said something too. I don't know.
I didn't see that. This is it. You got it? You got Steven Jackson?
Well, I can only play so far the first 30 seconds, which kind of gets to the point. After that, he talks about how the NFL didn't back up black players or black people and things.
Well, he talked about Riley Cooper.
Yeah, the back half.
Right.
But the first half is clean enough to play, where he discusses how he's behind Steven Jackson.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking the truth.
So I just read a statement that the Philadelphia Eagles posted regarding DeSean Jackson comments. He was trying to educate himself, educate people, and he's speaking the truth, right? He's speaking the truth. You know he don't hate nobody, but he's speaking the truth of the facts that he know and try to educate others. But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves. If it's talking about the black race, y'all ain't saying nothing about it.
Mm-mm. Okay. It's exact opposite is true. First of all, there are no facts in what DeSean Jackson said. First of all, what DeSean Jackson retweeted or tweeted out were lies that Hitler never said that. Secondly, if he was talking about the black race, anybody who's talking about the black race right now is canceled immediately. If he was a white guy talking about black, I mean, Drew Brees was talking about the flag and got canceled and had to have sit down, and they had to have team meetings. Joe Banner was actually right. If this was directed at any other group, any other group that had any kind of backing in the NFL, any kind of was represented in the NFL, then you'd have a big issue with his team. DeSean Jackson would.
And I've seen people on Twitter point to the or ask, is any NFL player going to condemn what's Deshaun Jackson said, and the likelihood of that happening is very low, I think.
Well, Jeff Schwartz was, he's no longer in the league.
Okay.
But he's Jewish.
But he's Jewish.
He was very upset about Deshaun Jackson. He came out and said, well, we could get Jeff on the show if you want. I don't know if you want him on or not, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mitchell Schwartz is his brother, who I mentioned with Kansas City Chiefs, is obviously Jewish. But he said, he made some comments that... he said, you know, I always had great interactions. He said, sometimes there's, he said, you know, you talk about Judaism. There's a lot of guys who are just ignorant of my religion. These are his words. He said, there are guys in the league who are just ignorant of my religion. We would have conversations in the locker room. And he said, I always had pretty good conversations about it. He goes, what I found is there's a lot of players who are just ignorant about, in the truest sense, ignorant, like doesn't have knowledge of what Judaism is and my religion and yada, yada, yada. But he was not, you know, in no way was he letting Deshaun Jackson off the hook. I mean, he was very disappointed in Deshaun Jackson, because Deshaun should know better than saying stuff like that. I mean, that's obvious what you're saying is hate speech. That's obvious what you said. I don't care who it's attributed to, who it's not attributed to.
When you think you're quoting Hitler?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's a bad...
Even if you say those words...
But just the initial... Let's quote Hitler today. That immediately, if you think
that...
That's
always a bad start.
It's a fail immediately. Mike North says, Drew Brees took more abuse than Deshaun Jackson has. Forgotten in a day. Hashtag Hitler. It absolutely is... Is there a chance that Deshaun Jackson, like you said, do you think this is too much for the Eagles?
Yeah, there's no reason for them to keep Deshaun.
But can they do that after the Riley Cooper thing?
No, they won't do it now, but they might do it at the end, because he was going to have a hard time. Like, there was just no guarantee he was going to make the roster anyway. But they're not going to do it before camp. They'll let him have a shot in camp. But I could see him getting cut, because I already thought he was probably going to get cut.
Do you think that there's a lot of owners that would pick him up?
No, not at this stage. He's an older player anyway. And then after this, no. I don't think people want the heat. This could be it for Deshaun Jackson. Once again, I mean, he's been around the league a while, and he's not a high-volume target. He's a long ball threat. So he's not going to be a guy who gets, even at his very, very best, he was never high volume. You know how many catches he had last year, John? 9 catches for 159 yards.
Well, yeah, much he was hurt. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, the whole receiving corps was hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He had 9 for it. But to my point, he has, his last 3 years have been 668 yards receiving, 774, 159. I mean, he missed 2 games, 4 games, 13 games over the last 3 years. It's getting to the point where he's a classic cut target anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's just
making
a fact.
Money and, they and not drafted, producing.
They drafted a guy who could take the top off of defense in Jalen Reagor. So I don't think with everybody coming back healthy, I think Deshaun is unlikely to be an Eagle, regardless of anything he said. But now it'll be really tough. And then,
well, maybe he doesn't want to go to that dirty ass trash ass city.
What do you think
anyway?
He'll say after he gets cut?
I ain't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Will that be his response?
Well, here's
I think that's everybody's response who goes to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Eagles' decision on whether to keep Deshaun Jackson could come down to whether Post is a default under his contract. Adam Schefter said Jackson is guaranteed $4.8 million this year in salary and has already received a $2 million option bonus. Eagles could try to figure out a way out of guaranteeing salary first.
He probably has a morals clause. I would think Deshaun Jackson have to have a morals clause in there.
Yeah,
is this fireable offense though? Is that you wouldn't have to pay him his guaranteed money over
hate
this?
Speech? Yeah,
a hate speech.
If they consider it hate speech, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I would think
is.
It'd be fireable.
And somebody asked, "What are the odds that he knew?" I think Jackie asked, "What are the odds he knew the team owner and GM are Jewish?" Before he posted those quotes, was that a direct shot at them?
I don't know. I just know sports talk shows are way different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, we got some anti-Semitism to talk about today. There's a march and a rally. There's like, It's just way different is all I'm saying.
Can you believe what the NFL players are being fed in their bubble?
No.
What?
Guys, we really got to get to Troy Daniels' picture on Instagram of what they were eating.
Like, I know we can't even name the team he's on, but we have to talk about what he posted on Instagram.
Now, look, Flacco y Gordo, that's going to happen in any potential show, even when sports is going full speed. Me talking about a surprise hamburger, that's going to happen. Guy on a text line saying chicken fried steak day was the best day at school. Yeah. Yeah, of course it was. That was a really good day.
I remember chocolate chip cookie day. They were limited because everyone loved those cookies, but they were soft. They were soft baked. And I
did you guys have the big ones?
We had the big ones.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you have did but they have
were
the,
ours were always burnt.
No, we didn't get the because I don't think the we didn't the cafeteria burnt didn't bake cookies. Them themselves, no, but they came they in didn't. Soft baked and it was they were limited supply and you knew you had to run or you weren't going to get one.
Did you have a like we had a cafeteria which is kind of the garbage ass food that I would usually get.
Yeah.
Or you had the snack bar that had
well we had
that a, was where the kids that had more money would go just get the biggest bunch of junk food they could get.
Well, with us, particularly in high school, we had you had the cafeteria, but you also had they brought in like a local pizza place would come in. Not local, they were a chain. I think it was Mike Papa John's or something. They would sell slices of pizza and until they ran out. So that's where everybody went. Mm-hmm. No one was going to the cafe.
Mm-hmm. 813 ESPN 97.5. That's the solution. What's the solution, Lance? Insurance.
TGS Insurance is the solution for you. If you are looking for homeowners insurance, make sure that you maybe you have something that's expiring in the next month. Make sure that you text money, the word money, to 232323 because they've got A-rated insurance companies that they aggregate, and these companies want your business, and they fight for your business. And they will, I mean, literally, there's no one is squaring off, but what they do is they will offer you the lowest rates that they can get to for your homeowner's insurance quote relative to what your house is and things like that. But this is something you really need to know. If you currently, if you just got done paying for an annual, an annual run on your homeowner's insurance with another company that you've been with for years and years, but that rate keeps going up on you, what they can do is they can help you cancel that, get all that prorated money back that you have coming to you from the other company, and they can get you covered as early as today. And your check will come in the mail, or they'll put a credit back on your credit card or debit card, however you paid it, if you prepaid. That's how quickly you can switch over. And there's no reason to pay more for an A-rated insurance company. You want A-rated insurance, that's what they have. And they're able to get it to you for, on average, a savings of $900 or more for your annual homeowner's insurance. There's plenty of people who get into the thousands and even into the 2000s. Make sure you text the word money to 232323 and just get a firm quote within 15 seconds and find out what you could be paying for your homeowner's insurance with TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Speaking of golf, Dell, we got a little feud brewing.
No one was speaking of golf.
John called. Oh, what 100% of the calls are about golf
but that
today.
That was 30 minutes ago.
It's 100%. It's not even close. 100% of the calls
but you can't
have
say
been about golf.
Speaking of golf or something that happened a half an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're all speaking of. Speaking of golf. Did you see Brooks Koepka? There's a gif of Kenny Powers going after the cameraman and ripping the camera down, and it says live Kenny Powers confronts steroid allegations, and he rips the camera out of the guy's hands and throws it to the ground. So apparently, I talked about this yesterday.
Bryce here, yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau confronted the cameraman. When he was melting down and, you know, hey, why you gotta keep the camera on me? And what's the deal? You're trying to make me look bad, my brand and all this crap. Anyway, so, apparently, Brooks Koepka, he and Bryson have beef anyway.
what, from college or
No. Bryson DeChambeau was talking about Koepka and going and when Bryson DeChambeau was working out before, actually thin before he did this, before he bulked up, put on 30, 40 pounds, whatever he's put on. He was working out hard and he had a six pack. And he goes, yeah, Koepka doesn't have this. And Koepka put out a picture of his four majors trophies. And he said, I got a four pack, bro. Okay. And you got none. Okay. So
I got a four pack.
I got a four pack. And so these two have been going back and forth a little bit. So now when DeChambeau confronts the cameraman, Koepka put out the gif of Kenny Powers ripping the camera out of the cameraman's hands and confronting his steroid allegations, which is a twofold shot at DeChambeau.
It is.
In that, you know, first of all, you're confronting you're taking it on the cameraman. Secondly, we don't know how you got all bowed up like you did. You put on 40 pounds in a couple of months, dude.
That was, is it 40?
30 to 40 pounds.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, I didn't know what he looked like beforehand, so I went and looked at the before and afters. It's hard in 3 months to have that kind of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You see people who work out, and I guess he does have lots of time to work out during quarantine, but you see actors change their bodies completely. Like one of the craziest changes of body types to me was Ed Norton from when he was in, you know, like when he was Worm in Rounders to American History X, where he was, you know, he was rocked up. Mm-hmm. I mean, relative to his frame, he was a pretty big dude.
Yeah.
And that was a 25. Eric Layden told me on the podcast, our last podcast that we did, that he added like 12 to 15 pounds, which is a lot for his frame. But he said he looks weird. His traps get bigger. And he just said, I just have a weird frame to get a lot bigger. But he had to do it for when he was a SEAL, playing a role of a SEAL. But I've asked him one time, I think it was on a previous podcast about guys getting bigger. And he said, oh, yeah, guys, by any means necessary for a role. He said, but don't. Like he said,
Jamie Foxx is taking something right now.
They may get a little help, he said, but they work out.
Yeah.
He said, this is money on the line. He goes, trust me, they're extremely motivated anyway. Great actors already have that motivation anyway. He said, so they are working out twice a day. They have nutritionists that are paid thousands of dollars, putting them on the very best meal plans possible. They're taking every supplement possible. Every supplement.
Every supplement. Yeah. Everyone.
And he said, and that's how you see him get jacked.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the first time I saw Bryson, I said, dude, really? I mean, just you got to do something. You're doing something.
Push-ups.
Well, and he says he can eat. He just eats as much as he wants. And all the time, he's just eating and taking protein.
Well, if you're
protein.
eating, lifting. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. That's just a lot of weight gain in a short period of time. A lot of muscle mass gain in a short period of time. But some people also have the body types for it also, and just don't.
Yeah, I got the body type. I've been putting on some pounds now. Not like he's doing it.
Yeah,
I'm just drinking a lot and eating a lot.
Okay, yeah, that's not really in this conversation. That's not really the conversation we're having.
No. But I can. I'm trying to be more like him. Not so much the golf because I'm trying to be more like him, and then I'm putting on a lot of weight.
Okay.
Yeah. That's I'd like to play golf like he does. He shattered Tiger Woods' driving record. Shattered it.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. He's destroying it.
So he was already a long driver.
He's destroying
it.
Yes, he's destroying everyone, though. And there are, he's a pretty long hitter. If he can work this thing out with his wedges, he'll be unbeatable. He'll be unbeatable. Because he hits it long and he hits it straight.
DeChambeau will?
Yeah, he'll be unbeatable. He's using graphite in his graphite shafts in his wedges, which is in Nick Faldo said it several times. He needs to go to steel and if he does, if he can work it out, if he can hit it close, he's inside 100 yards almost every hole.
Why does he need it? What does that do?
It
doesn't have as much flexibility,
but as much, yeah,
it's stiffer. But I mean, what will that do for him, his game?
It will. I don't know. I mean,
Nick Faldo says that he's probably right.
He's right. Yeah. Well, he's the only one on tour, I think, that uses graphite in his wedges. Yeah. And so it'll make him more accurate.
That's what I would think it would.
Yeah.
Pertain to.
Right. So anyway, It's just a shot from Koepka's a pretty good guy. Koepka seems like he don't care. Koepka just doesn't care.
Yep, he's this guy texts in. Yeah, you can use the text line too or tweet us. Text line 713-780-3776. If you want to pick up a phone and call us, we'll get you right in. 713-780-3776. He says, yep, trend makes you eat. What is trend? That's obviously
I don't know what it is.
That's obviously the last four letters of a steroid, I would assume.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Yep, Jamie Foxx used trend for a few movies. The same guy says this.
I don't know what trend is, but it's obviously some kind of supplement or whatever.
And then you have this guy said, we got taco taters about two times a semester in school. He said, mashed potatoes with taco meat and toppings. Taco taters. That sounds like something that you'd make if you were high at your house.
Yeah.
What am I making? What are you going to make, bro? I'm making taco taters.
Wow.
You ever have... We had granulated... Have you ever had this when we were in college? I think one time at the apartment where I was living at the time, there was... Have you ever had... No. I don't remember where I had this. Granulated mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Spuds? Yeah.
Yeah, you just pour it in and add milk or water or whatever. It actually works.
It works.
I thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. I'm like, yeah, this works. Put some taco meat on. Let's have taco taters.
Golf Feuds, WTF, what's next? Talking about The Bachelorette? No, we don't talk about The Bachelorette here. Is the dumbest, the worst show, the worst idea? Of course, I don't know why, but women will watch The Bachelor. But I think women love, like we said, they paint their nails. They paint them for each other. They don't paint them for us because they don't care. Now,
Do you think? How much was that?
I don't know.
What do you think? How much is that?
What do you think about my new hair?
Well, now, sometimes I could see a haircut going sideways.
But even, they just take off like a half an inch. What do you think about my new hair?
You haven't said anything. A great day. About my hair. Did you get it done?
No, it looks great.
I don't know. I always know when my wife's going to get her.
But women, I would.
I
think
know how much it costs. I'm like, this.
Yeah, no, I know, right?
Why are you cutting your hair? Your hair looks great.
Leave it.
You don't need to cut anything. Let it roll for another few months.
You would think that women would want to watch The Bachelorette and not The Bachelor. Because The Bachelorette, there's all kinds of guys on it, right?
No.
Women want to watch that?
I believe they'll watch both. But The Bachelor, it's an idealized man who, despite what he does for a living, actually, this guy gets to go on all these trips. And they get to watch woman being romanced by Prince Charming.
But he's a man
allegedly.
Whore.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
He was just with that other... But he loves her?
And
wait.
When he is a man whore, they turn on him, but they still want to watch. But the initial thing is, he's a great guy. He's Prince Charming. I want to see how this plays out.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
I would think... See, now, the only reason that a guy would watch it is, look at all those women on it, right?
But even still...
But how could
I would watch.
So here's how guys watch it. I got to be with all those women and pick which ones? This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the women like, look at this guy. I could imagine being the one that would beat out all these other girls to be with this idealized version of a man who is, like Dell said, I only watched probably two episodes of the show ever in history. And I feel like I had a pretty good feel for what the show was. And I can tell men and women watch that show way differently.
Yeah.
Differently.
No. I can't watch it because it's so stupid. Anyway, but you would think that they would like to watch more guys if you're the woman, but that's not the case.
Well, I think the women are watching either one, but The Bachelor's the original, and that one still holds. That's strong. That one is still.
It's still, yeah.
Yeah, and then they also identify with. Like we're speaking for women here. Sorry. They identify with each of these girls. Am I like that girl? Am I that girl? They also root for the contestants as well. So it's not only just The Bachelor. It's
because I like her.
They like her.
Hey, I like her dress. I can't stand her dress.
Or she's a BR or whatever.
Or she's a hoe.
It's all that stuff too.
I don't go with the hoe.
Yeah, it's that stuff. You know, you live in a bachelor house.
Yeah, no. Trust me. But my wife says, "Get out, get immediately."
You're going to say something.
Because
you're
as soon as I see it, I say something.
Yeah, and you're going to piss her off.
Get out. Just leave because you can't shut up. Breaking news: Dak Prescott is now asking for a 19-year, $1 billion deal.
Okay.
So we got that's happening right now. So just so everybody knows. All right, 713-780-3776.
We have our steroid name too. The guy texted back in. Trenbolone. He says, ship. I've used it. LOL.
Ooh.
So he has. That's what he says, yeah.
Oh, he's used it?
He's like, yeah, come on.
Trenbolone?
Yeah. What's he using it for?
Right.
Get yoked?
Just to get yoked?
I guess get yoked. I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Hey, pro baseball's back, and you can watch it in person, Lance. It starts this Friday, July 10th, Constellation Field in Sugar Land. Major League Baseball, obviously they released all those minor leaguers. Well, the guys from the Skeeters, they got right on the phone. Hey, you want to sign? You want to play? You want to play? Four teams, single A, double A players. 21 players have already reached the big leagues. So we got Roger Clemens, who's got a team. He and his son, Kobe. They have guys predominantly from UT, A&M, or Texas Tech. And then college baseball legend Pete Incaviglia, Greg Swindell, Dave Island, also managing teams in a highly competitive league. Island was the Royals pitching coach in 2015 when they won the World Series. We got minor league atmosphere in one of the nicest ballparks in the country. Social distancing, 2,000 fans a night, thorough cleaning after each game, and tickets just starting at $9. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com for all the info you need. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Hey, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Do you have a golf story you want to tell? 713-780-3776. How's that?
We're getting golf texts. Is this what happens on the text line? This is my first time on it for a long time.
What is the golf text say?
And we're getting some golf text coming in. Let's see. We have this. Pros that use graphite is crazy to hear. What does that mean? Is that a joke or what? What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
We got this. So I'm assuming the skanky letter has been buried. What is that the Yankee stuff that never came out?
Did you see the dad in
Hey, wait. When was the uncovering of the letter?
Well,
what they're talking about.
They placed an injunction on it. They appealed it, so now that has to be figured out.
Yeah. It's gonna take 7 years. But whatever the case may be, as long as the Yankees are cheaters, as long as we don't know what's in that letter, the league is protecting him, and Rob Manfred is Pinocchio. All right, that's all he does is lie.
We got this too. Leave Bryson alone. It's all natural. It's really not that hard to drive the ball 400 yards every time.
I like the text line. We never have the who's on the text
line? Hey, get D-Hop's tweets, because people have been talking about D-Hop's tweets.
Oh, yeah.
And that he and Deshaun were going back and forth about stuff. It's apparently not good for the Texans or Bill O'Brien. What? Hey, guys, stop talking about guys' shafts.
What are you talking about?
Is your shaft graphite?
That's a text line thing. Lance, what are your thoughts on Masvidal versus Usman this weekend? So I am super pumped about this fight. If you have a chance, now you got to pay the money for it. It's pay-per-view. Honestly, so Gilbert Burns was going to fight Usman, and Gilbert Burns tested positive for COVID, and so did, I think, some of his corner men. So they were out. Jorge Masvidal, who is one of the up-and-coming, I mean, he's already there, fighters in this. He started on the backyard fights, on Kimbo Slice's backyard fight stuff, and I remember watching him. His name was, they called him Ray, and that dude could fight. Like, he was a great boxer then. What turns out, this is the same guy who is Jorge Masvidal now in the UFC, And this dude is a – he's the one who had the one-second knockout against the guy where he did a flying knee and knocked out one of his mortal enemies. Then he beat up on Nate Diaz – or Nick Diaz. No. Which one is the younger one? Nate Diaz. And then now he's going to get Usman, who is a tough, tough dude. And Masvidal, it was – you know, there's been a lot of talk about Khabib, whose father just passed away – Masvidal versus Usman is going to be a sweet fight on UFC. I'm super happy that that's a card. I'm a little surprised that Masvidal took the fight on such short notice, but he must be keeping himself in shape. But he also got a crap load of money. And he's one of the star fighters who is demanding more and more money. So there's been talk. He's the one who said, Dana just let me out of my contract. John Jones has said that. I don't know where they'd go, but that's what they're saying. But, he must have got a good payday here to step in and kind of save the card. Dana probably really went out of his way to pay Masvidal to keep this card alive, the headliner. So if you are a UFC fight fan and maybe you kind of check out on it because there's so many fights, this is definitely one to watch, 100%. I don't know about the whole card. I haven't checked out the whole card, but I really don't care. Masvidal and Usman, to me, are worthy of just paying the money to watch these two guys.
If I see him at Whole Foods, I'm going to still slap that dude up because I don't like him.
That would be Jorge Masvidal.
Mm-hmm. I can't find the Nuke and Watson
Well,
stuff.
It's one tweet from Nuke. He says, 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that. Zero doubt he will win more Super Bowls. And he uses the numbers 24 and 0 to clearly point to what happened in that game with him and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Zero doubt he will win. That's it?
Yeah, that's all.
And did Sean fire back?
I didn't see anything.
Somebody said Deshaun, and they went back and forth. Their tweets were fire, and I don't know.
I didn't see any Deshaun. Deshaun with the happy kid face.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. And that's fine. 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that. 24 nothing? Yeah. Guess what? No, 51-7 is the real number.
Well, he's just pointing out that he was on that team. I'm not sure why he's taking joy in that. It wasn't like you were already traded and it happened after you got traded. You were actually on the field for that. So it goes on your resume, too. So I'm not sure why he's taking pleasure in that particular scoreline.
Yeah. Well, he also retweeted, Nuke Hopkins is sure handed as it gets. Consecutive catches without a drop. Wide receivers, 2006 to 2019. DeAndre Hopkins, 225. The next closest was Randall Cobb at 121. Then Michael Thomas, 116. Tyler Lockett, 111. Nuke, as sure-handed as it gets. He is, man. He is. Do you think that's going to be a good combination, though, him and Fitzgerald?
Well, it's him and all the rest of the investment they've put in that position. Andy Isabella. I think whenever Larry Fitzgerald decides he's done, they're just going to shift DeAndre into that slot. He'll be their big slot guy.
He's made for the slot, man. He has there's so much similarity between him and Larry Fitzgerald. Size-wise, Fitz is a little bigger, I think. But,
a little thicker.
Body control, ability to use their body to frame up catch space, ability to extend to catch the ball away from the body, hand strength, like... they understand how to get open late with use of push off and stuff like that. They get the most out of their route running. Neither one is fast down the field. Like, there are so many similarities. Now, Bruce Arians is the one who moved Larry Fitzgerald inside against Larry Fitzgerald's wishes, and it ended up extending his career and making him a much more valuable player. I think the same thing is going to – I think that's going to be a league-wide trend. Once teams feel like you really can't separate, or if you get a quarterback who can't throw with accuracy or much velocity and you aren't getting separation as an outside receiver, they'll just stick you inside a slot and let you just beat people up. Now, your yards per catch will go down a little bit, but your catch totals could end up being the same. It's like having a big tight end. There's no different working from the slot. It's a shorter throw, and so – you know, the Texans think Nuke Hopkins' best days may be over, and there's some, I've heard this before. I've heard this before that some people in the analytics world wonder if Hopkins right now at this stage of his career could take a dive down. But I think we've already seen that when you're sure-handed, all you got to do is throw a guy a little closer to the line of scrimmage. I mean, to the
ball.
To the ball, put him in a slot, and the catches are going to keep piling up for Nuke Hopkins. It's not going to be any different. You're in Cliff Kingsbury's offense now. You got Kyler Murray, who once he falls in love with you, and look at the other wide receivers they have. Andy Isabella.
Christian Kirk had a pretty good year last year.
Christian Kirk's all right. You know, he's all right. He was their best target last
year. Well, he won't be this year.
Keyshawn Johnson. You got Hakeem, what's his name, from Butler from Iowa State, who I don't even know if he's going to end up being a player for them. Dude, Nuke is going to get, he's going to get 120 catches this year. He'll get 120, well, provided they play, he'll get about 120 catches. He's going to get at minimum, he'll get at minimum 6 catches a game, at minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, what, 96? I would say probably closer to 7 catches a game. That's a ton.
Yeah.
That's a ton.
Yeah.
Targets.
And Cliff ain't going to care that he doesn't like to practice. So what? Nuke, just go over there.
I think you're going to see a different Nuke also. Now that he goes, I think he'll buy into everything because he wants to, you know, he wants to prove the Texans. He wants to stick it to the Texans. And he wants to really show out this year for all the NFL. And he wants to get... He still hasn't gotten paid, right? They didn't do a deal. He wants to get his money too. So I think you'll see him do everything the Cardinals ask him to do. But Cliff, come on. There's probably a dance off at some point during practice. It's Cliff Kingsbury. You think this is gonna be a grind?
No.
Did you ever see
Cliff is as laid back it gets.
Did you ever see the video of him at Texas Tech when he had the dance off against the player?
No.
The players have dance offs. I'll show it to you during a break, and all of a sudden they're waiting for whoever this other player is going to dance off against after the other. There's been 2 or 3 dance offs in the battle. It's offense versus defense. He calls out a cornerback, and then they're waiting for him to call out the offensive player's name, and he starts taking off his own like sweater. Cliff starts taking off it, and the team goes crazy, and he has him hit the music, and Cliff's doing a stanky leg, and it's like, I got to show you. It is. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, A, I know why players love Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. And B, his practices probably aren't super hard.
No, but it's going, like you said, it's going to be a lot of reps. It was amazing. I went out to June Jones's practice. When you got an offense like this, that's all they want. June Jones had, he said, I said, how is your offense so much more efficient than everybody else's? He goes, when we practice, it's rep after rep after rep after rep after rep. And being out there, it's just nonstop. Just keep doing it, do it, do it. And you know what? Then the quarterback and the wide receivers are all on the same page. They're all thinking alike. It's amazing. And I know Cliff is much the same way. Cliff ain't going to care that there's no contact in practices. Oh, we can't hit. All right. Whatever. Let's just go fling it around. He's going to do that anyway. Let's just go fling it around, boys. Let's go and have some fun. Yeah, DeAndre's going to – he really will. Going from Bill O'Brien, the dictator, to Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to feel like he's freed. He's going to feel like $1 million. And can't blame him. Just can't blame him. I mean, we saw Brandon Brooks when he got out of out of here, what he said about, you know, the kind of practices and just the atmosphere here. Going to Cliff Kingsbury from Bill O'Brien is going to be like, dude, this is so much fun. 842 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. I got to talk right now about my peeps over at the MMA. Yeah, that's right. The MMA law firm. These guys are awesome. And here's what they're doing right now. Because insurance companies, this is what their business is. You know what? They take your money. The insurance company take your money. Then they don't want to pay you on your claims. So do you have a claim right now against an insurance company? Are they acting in bad faith? Because if they are, the standard is that if they are acting in bad faith, you could get up to 3 times whatever your claim is. So listen. If you're struggling with the insurance company, they're not moving, they're not budging, call or listen, go to largelossattorneys.com. Largelossattorneys.com. Doesn't cost you a dime. A free, no obligation consultation, absolutely free. You don't have to worry about a thing. And here's the deal. You don't have to pay up front. Because nothing comes out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. If you win, It comes out of there. They get a percentage of that. So you got nothing to lose because you're not getting anywhere with your insurance company now. You also got dram shop, pharmaceutical law, medical devices, serious personal injury, 18-wheeler. And oh, by the way, hurricane season is upon us. So guess what? We're gonna have floods, we're gonna have hurricanes. Make sure you think of the large loss attorneys. LargeLossAttorneys.com. That's LargeLossAttorneys.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. Yeah, apparently somebody tweeted out a dog. Looked like it was moving back and forth, like it was having some relations. And Deshaun laughed at it. And it must have been something about the contract, I guess, about Mahomes' contract. And that's all. Deshaun Watson had a couple of laugh emojis. So I don't know that's fire so much.
Mm.
Was Deshaun on fire?
I don't know. Didn't seem like it.
And for some reason, somebody sent us Katya Elise Henry.
That's Tyler Herro's girl.
Yeah. And he is a hero, isn't he? Isn't he a hero?
Yeah, he took to Twitter, shot his shot, and it worked out.
Uh-huh.
And then someone...
It really did?
Yeah, he went on Twitter and said, what you up to, girl? Pretty much. And she was like, oh, I'm up to this. And now they've been dating ever since.
Did he say, what you doing with that mouth?
I think he just said, what you doing? He went WYD.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
And so he got an Instagram model just saying WYD? Well, that and his basketball
contract.
Him
being a basketball player and living in Miami, all those things certainly helped.
Yeah.
And someone tweeted out, for whatever reason it came up again, because I guess they've been going back and forth on social media showing us how much they like each other. And someone goes, man, this dude shot his shot. It gives us hope for everyone. Someone responded, he goes, bleeper, that dude's an NBA player. You're going to get us all curved, which means embarrassed if we try to do that. Like he's an NBA player. Yeah.
Yeah.
His shot is wetter than most people's.
Yeah.
Normally, right. And then if you, yeah, it's gonna work out for
him. It gives us all
him.
Hope. Does it? No. Mm. Does it really give you hope?
It may give other NBA players hope.
Well, I feel like they know that they have an opportunity. They're always in the gym. They're, mm-hmm. they're always got an opportunity.
They're always in the gym launching. Can't score if you don't shoot. Thanks for always making me laugh through the corona season. This is what we're in. This is the corona season. March through, I don't know, infinity, corona season. We're in the middle of a corona season.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't want that to be an annual season. We have what's called draft season, which developed from January through April. I don't want a corona season.
No, but we could have bubonic plague season coming.
They say we already have bubonic plague in the U.S.
I saw someone tweet about this happens in Colorado a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Bubonic plague?
A couple cases of bubonic plague. In
really?
Yeah.
How awesome.
Get out of control.
Well, that's good.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find a way to give each other a bunch of bubonic plague, too. But NASCAR Johnny is the one who said that. And then somebody else called us. One thing I haven't heard mentioned, has Watson progressed since being in the league? Outlaw said that. Yeah, I think he has progressed. You can definitely see a progression. The only concern I have is that there is still a lack of consistency of long stretches of not – like what I want to see is Deshaun get to great games and average games. I don't want a bad game. Like Baltimore was a bad game. The Carolina Panthers, that was a bad game. Deshaun still throws in some bad games, and I want to see it turn in – I want to see it be an occasional average game that is, you know, filled into – a season full of good to great games. That's when you are an elite quarterback. That's when you are a top.
Everybody has a bad day.
A top four quarterback.
Everybody has a bad day.
But that's not Those are really bad games. That Ravens game was a
really bad game. Really bad.
The I would say the Carolina Panther game was a really bad game.
The Jacksonville game.
Yeah, wasn't there one of the Jacksonville games?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, the first one against Minshew. Yeah, the first one against Minshew. The one in London was good.
Yeah.
He was good against London. But once he eliminates those, I would say that's when Deshaun takes that next step.
How much of that is on? You got to, I mean, does Bill O'Brien have to take some of that heat?
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really kind of is.
You heard him. No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, well, does Pat Mahomes have bad days?
He has. He may have average days. I don't know Pat Mahomes has
bad days. I thought the Super Bowl he was average.
Until he needed to be great, and he was.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Pat Mahomes is great a lot of the times when it matters most. When they need him, he's there.
Yeah, you always think he's. And that's what I'm waiting for Deshaun. Deshaun has great moments. I just want the consistent greatness. You know, I think that's the one thing that's missing is consistent greatness. You just know that Pat Mahomes is going to ruin you. You just know it. He did it against the Texans. He did it at the end of the game, although Tyreek Hill made a great catch. But you just know that Pat Mahomes is going to ruin you.
That was a bad throw, by the way.
Yeah, he kind of hung it up there.
He hung it up there. He waited forever for the ball to get there. I mean, that's like, well, what a great play. No, it wasn't a great play. But Tyreek Hill was wide open. He had to be wide open because he stood there for how long to wait for the ball to get there? So early in the show, we actually started the show with trash ass Lance, right?
No, we didn't start that.
Yeah. Joel Blank called you out for your trashiness.
Yeah, he put on Twitter. He put your business out on Twitter this morning yesterday.
That was my cleaning mechanism. That was my cleaning.
No, you
device.
Left your snot rag.
Right? It's not a snot rag. That's what everyone was accusing me of.
It kind of was,
and it could have been yours. You blow your nose. Not
I never
me.
Blow my nose.
Look at this. You see this?
Yeah.
See this? This is the clean my. Yeah. It's a.
So you don't leave a ring.
It's a paper towel that I turn into a coaster. Basically.
Mm-hmm. And then you throw it on the ground.
And I clean it up. I spray everything down real good and I clean it up.
You don't none of that.
I also left this on, which Joel was a little concerned about this thing.
Yeah. This
you left your mic condom on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got mic condoms here so that I don't have to like you and Joel are swapping spit over there. You're spitting in his mouth right now. Mm-hmm. But Jesus asked, is Pac-Man Joel the office Karen? And Joel responded on Twitter, nailed it. Man, you must have had a big gulp this morning. You are pissing extra excellence before 8 a.m. Have a great day. Make sure you wear your mask. I'll be watching. ... See, Joel thinks he woke up happy this morning with Jesus.
Well, the Karen thing is a little harsh for Joel because Karens are like people who are like raging out in public. Sometimes invoking racism to get their point across. That's not Joel.
No. The Karen thing, first of all, I invented Karen and everyone has stolen it. Although my Karen was just, you kind of knew who she was. Toe ring. I invented Texans Karen. And it was somebody who calls him J.J. Watts, who doesn't know all the players' names but acts like she's the biggest Texans fan. Like, we all know a Texans Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the Karen thing. And then all of a sudden, it used to be Becky. And then all of a sudden, Karen hit. And now it's just completely taking off. And you know, it's funny. My wife has a good friend who's black, whose name is Karen. And I just thought, oh, this is unfortunate for her.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be tough.
I was married to a Karen, which, yeah, she was
literally or figuratively?
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
But she wasn't a Karen.
No, she wasn't a Karen. No. See, I was married to someone named Karen.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she wasn't a Karen, like, per se. Yeah, it would be terrible to have, like, your name's Chad now because Barstool Sports has made Chad really a kind of a
bro.
Like, a bro.
That's a bro. That's kind of a douchey bro thing. You
yeah.
Know, the Chad.
You're
thing.
A Chad. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, the Karen, it would be horrible to, yeah. What if you're African American and you're named Karen, like your wife's friend? How does she live life now? Does she have to change her name? That's horrible for her. Have you all seen Outcry on Showtime?
No, my brother just who said that?
Ape Rob 3.
Because my brother asked me that yesterday. Oh, Dude, now I know what outcry is. So the guy who did Draft Days, the fake mockumentary about Keith Cornelius Jr.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this story. Back in the when Maurice Claret challenged the NFL's rule that you had to be a junior to come out and initially won before it got overturned, Keith Cornelius Jr. was a player at he went to Episcopal High School.
I don't even think I don't know that he was even on the team, was he?
He was a backup cornerback.
Oh, okay.
He was a backup cornerback, about 5 foot eight-ish, maybe 160 pounds. He used to listen to the show going to school, I guess. I'm friends with his dad, Keith Cornelius Sr., as you might imagine.
Right.
And he's a big U of H booster. He's the one that I sent you the message. He was very happy about some of the stuff you said about your U of H sports map article. That was from him.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Keith Jr. used to listen to the show, I guess, with his dad. And he called into our show one time saying that he was also going to go pro right out of high school. And we played it real straight. He sent a letter into the NFL that he also sent us that he was going pro. And we would talk about it, and we would have him on, and we did a draft segment with Keith Cornelius where we ask, at the time, Jim Sabar, our draft expert from Our Lads, about him. He goes, I've never heard of the kid. I don't even know who he is. And so anyway, one of our listeners, Mike Condolas, got a hold of his brother, Pat Condolas, and told him all about it. And Pat was in Austin for a group called Round Mountain Productions. He was doing his own documentaries. This is in like 2002. Or 2003. So Pat Condolas reaches out to me and said, hey, I want to do a fake documentary, a mockumentary on Keith Cornelius Jr. going pro. And you think we can do a workout with him? So Danny Arnold had a workout, like a pro-style workout, and his workout was just not good enough. He interviewed Jason Babin, Cornelius like Armstrong, where I think his name was, who was working out with Danny. Dom Capers had a quick interview, like a quick soundbite about make going pro when you're 18 years old. And like, obviously he was very down on it. And so they did this whole mockumentary. It's about 30 minutes. I'm interviewed in it. It's really funny, called Draft Days, D-A-Z-E. And it's Round Mountain Productions. And then I know the guy had done some things here or there. Like, we had stayed in touch just a little bit. And then all of a sudden I see that Round Mountain did this outcry. They did this documentary. That's who, the same guy who did Draft Days. It's a documentary, right? A sports documentary. Mm-hmm. What's it about?
It's about a kid who was a high school star in Leander, Texas, and he was going into his senior year, and he was convicted of rape or sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And with he was sentenced to I don't know how many years with no possibility, 25 years with no possibility for parole.
Let's see if I can get Pat on the show to talk about this. I really need to see it.
But a groundswell of support emerged for him, calling into question the investigation, the prosecution's tactics, and ultimately the validity of the conviction. So, wow. Wow. What a story. Poor kid. Man. It's like the USC kid. So I watched the movie.
Movie didn't get great reviews. But
it was good, though. It was good.
Yeah. I know the story.
Yeah.
About the guy who went to prison. Yeah. And
high school kid that was a great football player.
Brian Banks.
And then when he came out, he just kind of, he hadn't been playing.
Now he works for the league, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He does have a.
Yeah. He works for the league.
A job. Is it in the league?
Yeah. He made the Falcons. It was short-lived, but then he got a job with the league, which was great. It worked out for him, but man, what a horrible, horrible story. To be wrongly convicted and be in prison when you're innocent? Wow. 858 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I was just talking yesterday about Fred's hair and how awesome it is. And how he's done an Doc Linville has done an unbelievable job. And I'm the same way. I can't tell you how awesome it is to have hair again. I had a giant 9-iron divot out of the back of my head, and it was, and you know, all your buddies make fun. And you're a little self-conscious about it. You don't have to be. I know a buddy of mine, he's got a young kid, he's 22 and balding right now. And he's like, man, I'm only 22 years old and I'm bald. So he's already seen Doc Linville and he's got his consultation and I think he's going to have it done. Listen, the Neo grafting is unbelievable, guys. It was the process couldn't have been easier. I was in the chair for about 4 hours, done. Fred took about 8. But look at him. Look at the results. It's unbelievable what's going on with Fred's head. If you're looking for the best way to get hair right now, Neo grafting, it cannot be easier. You will love the process. You'll love Doc. You'll love everything about it. You go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.